All right, we'll try it one more time. Everybody, head back to your seats, please. Blah, 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 blah. You had to be there. That was an inside joke. All right. Well, good to see you all on this soggy morning. That you're able to navigate the slippery parking lot. Going to take your life in your hands walking across that thing. So I want to go over just a couple things here. Just a reminder, the connection cards there in your seats, place to fill out information if you have new information, need to update information, and then also on the back is prayer requests. We now have the phone list is out, still working on the picture directory. If you haven't got a new picture, we're going to draw just little stick figures of you. Put those in there. So, skin. Well, I don't know. I mean, so we're still working on that. So, and today, right after second service, we're going to be having our annual business meeting, along with a lunch for those that are staying for that. And just as a reminder, as far as the phone list goes, that Lynn and I now have gone to just our cell phones. So if you call the number in the old phone list, not going to get anybody. So if you're trying to get a hold of us, and that's in the new phone list. So our cell phone numbers are in there now. And I think that's it. Yes, sir. If I say no, it's not going to matter. So. On the twirly. that is true. Yeah. All right, yeah, so if you're interested in being part of the missions group, you can talk to Bill about that. Sure, we got all morning. Right, but that doesn't mean they don't need more. So just FYI. And blankets do go really fast, so they could still use more. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day, and I just thank you for all those that are here this morning, and pray that we would just feel your presence, that we come in here expecting to hear from you. With that expectation of worshiping you, of coming to love you even more. Father, help us to represent your Son, that as we look at one another, we can see Christ in us. And we know that can't be through our power alone. It has to be through your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, help us to represent you out in the world also. That when people see us, when they hear us, they will know that we are believers in Jesus Christ. And do we have a hope and a peace that the world doesn't understand, and that that would draw them to you? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are continuing our series in Experiencing God. And this morning, just by way a little bit of review, so we looked at last week the idea that we need to know God, not just know about God. Okay, we learned that God is love, God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, and God is sovereign. We can trust Him with our lives. And I think sometimes that's really, when it comes down to it, that really is the issue of, are we going to follow God? Or are we going to serve God? Or are we going to do what God wants us to do? Because we don't really trust Him. Because He might ask us to do something we don't really want to do. We need to trust Him and know that because He is love, because He knows everything, because He is sovereign, He's going to do what's best. He's going to do what's best. And it may be in the short term. It may be in the long term. We may not find out till we're in heaven what His plan was, what He was doing, how He was orchestrating things. So this morning we're going to look at God at work, realizing that God is at work today. He's at work all around us. Have you seen Him working? I know some of you have seen Him working like really a lot here just in the last few days. God will provide. Or have you seen Him working? Maybe in the past. Maybe there's things you've seen Him do. And maybe right now you're having a hard time seeing what He's up to. You can rely on part of what you've already seen Him do and use that to help you trust in that He is working today. So God is at work. So how do we then partner with Him? How do we come alongside God and work with what He's already doing? Well, the first thing that has to happen, of course, is we have to have a relationship with Him. We have to have this loving relationship so that we can understand Him and get to know Him and really connect with Him. We also need to then submit to Him. That's part of that trust issue, submitting. Do I trust God to where I will submit? Am I willing to do what His will is? Or am I more concerned with what I want to do? This week, part of the lesson was this idea of self-centeredness or God-centeredness. And which are you dealing with? I know it depends on the hour, right? Sometimes we do a lot better than other times. You know, we are so good at human beings of justification. You know, we can justify things up one side and down the other. But are we really, really willing to submit and say, okay, God, Your will be done, not mine? One of the stories this week that was in the lesson was talking about a young man who was a seminary graduate. You know, and of course, as a seminary graduate, he's thinking, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to be pastor of a church and, you know, full time, and, you know, God is going to show me the way. And he gets an offer from a church. Let's make it a Village Missions church, where he's going to have to be bivocational. And I love it. They said, Western Wyoming. What's Western Wyoming like, Pete? Oh, okay. But probably a whole lot of nothing out there, right? Antelope. There you go. And so he gets this call from a church in Western Wyoming saying, come and be our pastor, but you're going to have to, we can't afford you, so, you know, you'll have to also work. And, of course, he's thinking, well, this can't be what God wants, right? Because, you know, I'm a seminary graduate. I've got all this education. You know, I need to go to a, a bigger church, full-time, on staff? Not necessarily. He may have to make some adjustments in his thinking, in his actions, in his life. He may have to readjust. Because sometimes what our dream and our vision is not what God's is. Because God has a different perspective. We need to look around and see what God's already doing. You know, and that's kind of the crux of experiencing God is to really look and see what's God already doing. You know, how can I enter into his plans, not how can God enter into my plans? Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." God's perspective on what's going on and what's going to happen is way different than ours a lot of the time. He has the big picture in view, and we don't always get that big picture. We looked at that a little bit last week where, you know, when we saw God put out a call, you know, when he called Abraham, he said, "I want you to leave here and go there. Bless you." He didn't really give him a whole lot of details. When Jesus came to disciples, he said, "Come follow me." Didn't give him a lot of details. God does that quite often. In fact, you've probably experienced that in your own life where God said, "Come, go, follow, but I'm not giving you a lot of details. I just need you to step out." It kind of reminds me also of Joshua as they were entering the promised land. And what God told him was, "Wherever you put your foot, that's what I'll give you." The thing is, you have to put your foot there. You've got to step out. You got to trust in God. So one of the things that we need to do is follow God in the little things, in the daily stuff. You know, sometimes we're looking for the big, you know, the big assignment. You know, what's God want me to do? What kind of big things can I do for God? And I think a lot of times God is a whole lot more concerned with, what am I doing today? What am I doing on a daily basis? We looked at this passage last week, but I want to look at it again, because it's so relevant. This is 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to start down in the second half of verse 13. It says, "Live in peace with one another. Admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one pays evil for evil. Always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterance, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil." That's God's will for us daily. No big assignment in there. He goes, "This is how I want you to live on a daily basis." Luke 16:10 says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous in much." You know, we see this throughout Scripture where God says, "Are you going to be faithful in the little thing? Are you going to put your foot in the land, step out? Are you going to trust in me? Are you going to follow me in the little things? Then I'll maybe consider you for the bigger assignment." We need to wait on him to show us and confirm to us what he's about to do. One of the things that we talked about last week was this idea of, don't just do something, stand there. The thing is, though, what we see in 1 Thessalonians is we're still doing something. You know, we're not literally doing nothing. But sometimes we need to kind of back off when we're looking at the bigger things. And to not be making excuses on why we can't do sometimes the little stuff. Well, I'm a seminary graduate. I shouldn't have to do that. Not me, but you know, God may call us to do something we think is very below us. And yet it's stuff that God wants to have happen. It's things that he's using to develop our character. Don't you love that when God's working on your character? Isn't that fun? When God calls us, he will equip us to do what we need to do, what God wants us to do. So many times we are not equipped for what God calls us to do. But as human beings, so many times we want to say, well, I'm not qualified to do that. Great. God doesn't need you to be qualified to do that. He will qualify you along the way. He will build your character. He will equip you. One of the things that really challenged me, because I've read, there's actually a book that goes along with Experiencing God, and I've read the book. And, of course, he gets into more detail on some of the things. And one of the things that I've really been challenged on is the idea of spiritual gifts and how they work, how they operate. He has more the point of view of, you know, when we accept Christ, we're given the Holy Spirit. We may have certain gifts and abilities kind of just within us that we've operated in over the years and that we've learned how to do, and then our personality plays into that too. But God can actually equip us for anything. So I think we need to be careful to say, well, that's not my gift. So, I mean, if God wants you to do it, it doesn't matter. I had a Bible school teacher also that really felt like, in fact, he was a pastor of some small rural churches. And he really felt like spiritual gifts were like a toolbox. And that depending on where he was and what he needed, he could use whatever tool God would give him. It might be, you know, something that wasn't his strength, but yet it was something that was needed in the church, and God would then equip him with that. Now, when he went to the next one, he may not operate in that gift. It's a little bit different concept than what we would normally think about. In Acts 2:38, Peter is speaking to the group, and he says, "Repent, each of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You know, the Holy Spirit within us working to do what God wants us to do may not be operating in some specific gifting. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about spiritual gifts. He says there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Spirit working within us to bring about the common good for the church, for the world, for our community. So we hear God differently today than has happened in the past. Maybe there's somebody in here who's literally audibly heard God speak to them, but God today really normally does not operate in that way. He did. He used to. In Hebrews 1:2, it says that God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So when he spoke to Adam and Noah and Abraham and Moses and the prophets, literally, audibly, even appeared to them and spoke to them. But what he's doing now in this day He's given us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps guide and direct us. He's given us His Word. You have to remember, in the early church, they didn't have the Bible. They didn't have God's Word. He speaks to us through prayer, through circumstances, through the church, through other people. But it's all based on God's Word and the Holy Spirit. John 14, 26, he tells us that he's given us, calls him the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who will teach us all things and remind us of what Jesus has said, which would be in God's Word. The Holy Spirit will help us. 1 Corinthians 9 through 12 says, "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not been entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit within you, the Holy Spirit of God that helps guide and direct you. But the Holy Spirit also uses God's Word, our time with God. He uses circumstances. He uses the church. He uses other people to confirm what He's saying to us. And maybe one of the bigger issues that we have many times is listening. Paying attention. John 8:47 says, "He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God." The things of God can seem so foolishness or so foolish to a lot of people because they're not of God. You know, they don't get it. It's that whole natural man versus the spiritual man and understanding what God's about. John 10, 2 through 4 and 14, it says, "But he who enters the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." And then down in verse 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd." This is Jesus speaking. "And I know my own, and my own know me." Do you recognize the voice of Jesus when you hear it? Or have you not spent enough time with him and in his word that when he speaks, you recognize his voice immediately? Oh, that's Jesus speaking. We need to make sure we're listening. So I think one of the a vitally important issue when it comes to following God is this idea of lordship. It can be very easy to accept Jesus as Savior, but not accept Him as Lord. In 1 John 4:14, it says, "We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be Savior of the world." Jesus Christ came to be Savior. Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom was crucified, but yet God raised Him up again. This is in Acts 4. "There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." The name of Jesus. He is the Savior. There is no other way to salvation. other than through Jesus Christ. But this idea of Lord, I think it's especially something that we don't really comprehend that. Lord, what do you mean, Lord? I'm in control of myself, my own destiny. I'll do what I want whenever I want. We don't like that idea of someone else telling us what to do. The definition of Lord, one having power and authority over others. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So there's a decision that we make at some point when we say Jesus Christ is Lord. And I don't think everybody makes that distinction. It's Savior. I'm saved through Jesus Christ, but I'm not sure about the whole Lord thing. He needs to be in total control. He needs to be in total control. God has given him the authority. In Philippians 2:9, it says, for this reason also, God highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We need to give it over to him. We need to give up our self-will and allow him to be Lord of our lives. Luke 6:46. This could be really, and it should be, a disturbing passage. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And then there's a point when he's talking to people and says, you say this, you call me Lord, and yet I don't know you. And they're doing all these good things, and yet he's not Lord. His expectation is that you will call him Lord, that you will follow him as Lord. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. In other words, set Christ apart for a sacred purpose as Lord in your heart. A sacred purpose. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Because if we have made Jesus Christ Lord of our lives, we are going to look different than everybody else. We are going to look different than the world, which is God's expectation. That's his plan of salvation, is through those of us who've already accepted Christ as Savior. That's his expectation, that we will then spread that gospel, that good news, out to the rest of the world. We also need to humble ourselves. If we're going to allow someone to be Lord of our lives, then we'd better be humble. 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. I think you could also put in there that he may use you at the proper time. James 4:4-8. You adulteresses, Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which is made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, you can't love the world and love God. You can't do both. God requires us to love him only. God requires us to make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives, not just the Savior. Does God love you? Do you love God? Will you submit to Jesus as Lord? Colossians 2, 6 through 8 says, therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted, now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. There's a bit of that going around. According to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Make sure you recognize Jesus' voice, but also that you recognize when the world speaks, so that you can ignore that. And the only way you're going to get to know Jesus' voice is to get to know him. To have that loving relationship with him, spending time with him. Let's pray. Father God, it's a struggle to live in a world that doesn't believe you. And yet you have called us to be disciples of Christ, to go out into the world, and to tell others about you. That's the plan. With all of our inconsistencies and our frailties and all the junk we deal with personally, and yet your plan was to use us. But to really be used by you, we have got to make Jesus Lord. We have got to give up our will and let your will be done in our lives. Oh, Father, I pray that as we go through this series, that we truly will experience you. That's the goal, to experience you, to know you, so that we can trust you without a shadow of a doubt, knowing that whatever you might call us to do, you've got our back, that you will supply, you will equip, you will direct. But what we need to do is we need to take that first step. Put our foot in the land. Oh, Father, thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to help us live lives that are worthy of you. May we glorify you in all that we do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So one other thing. So the annual business meeting is right after second service, And the lunch and the meeting will be downstairs, so not up here. That's, I think that's what the bulletin said. So we changed in midstream. So, all right, God bless you. Have a good week. Right after second service.